Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text is the reading from Revelation chapter 3. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, are the terms exclusive and universal opposites and mutually exclusive? The dictionary defines exclusive as excluding all others, and universal as of, for, or including all, not limited or restricted. In our text, Christ is addressing the faithful church in Philadelphia, Asia Minor, which he commends and promises to bless. The words of Christ remind us that true Christianity is both exclusive and universal in its outlook. How is true Christianity exclusive in its outlook? True Christianity is that which we hold to, that which we confess. This is the Christianity of Scripture, which takes the claims of Scripture at face value, which humbly believes all the teachings of Scripture. There is no watering down or perversion of the message of Scripture by the practice of the historical critical method or wrong interpretation approaches of another kind. True Christianity has an exclusive outlook by professing that it is the only religion that accurately deals with the divine, the human, and the afterlife. This means that all other religions are false. There is no sugarcoating of that term, false. Every other religion presents damnable teachings, teachings coming from Satan and leading people to hell. True Christianity does not accept the equality or validity of other religions. There's no they're okay, we're okay mentality. This may not be politically correct or popular today, but true Christianity responds tough. Another way true Christianity presents its exclusive character is with the confession that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. In our text, Jesus refers to himself as the true one or the genuine one. He is the genuine, real Savior. All other so-called messiahs or saviors are counterfeit. Actually, the bottom line for all of the religions is that each person has to earn salvation by what he or she does. In reality, each person is his or her own savior. True Christianity responds, wrong. People left to themselves are hopelessly trapped in sin. They are completely unable to save themselves, and they are headed only for hell. Only the holy God, by becoming a human being, by becoming our substitute, could rescue us lost and condemned creatures. This God-man is Jesus Christ. He alone is the Savior. Salvation is only through Jesus Christ, only in connection with him. In our text, Christ describes himself as the one who has the key of David. The mention of David is reminiscent of 2 Samuel chapter 7, where God promises the great Israelite king that kingship will forever be associated with his line. God was revealing that the Messiah would be a descendant of David. The Messiah's kingdom, spiritual in nature, goes on forever. The Messiah Jesus, having the key of David, signifies that he only has the power to admit to the messianic kingdom, to grant the right to participate in this kingdom, and to shut out from such participation. Christ has the key. He bestows it on others so that they may open and lock by his power and according to his word. Only in the messianic kingdom is there salvation. This is the one kingdom that will last forever. All other kingdoms will come to an end. Another way that true Christianity manifests its exclusive outlook is with the confession that its book, Scripture, both the Old and the New Testaments, is the only and entire word from the one true God to man. There is no other revelation from God. In our text, Christ commends the Philadelphians for keeping his word and not denying his name, that which reveals him. Other books or revelations claiming divine origin are hoaxes, deceptions of Satan. Our text, presenting the exclusive character of true Christianity, applies to us in both a professional and in a personal sense. From the personal standpoint, we hear that which we need to hear every day. Hold fast what you have. Keep on grasping Christ in faith. Keep on holding to his word, Scripture. One motivation for this is that, as Christ says in our text, he is coming soon. Christ can come at any moment in his full power and glory for the final judgment. Another motivation is that, holding on to Christ, believing his word, we indeed have the crown of everlasting life. We indeed are those who will conquer. We will emerge as victors over sin, Satan, and death. We will indeed be pillars in the temple of our God, permanent residents of heaven and of the world to come. From the professional standpoint, our text reminds those of us who are or will be pastors, ministers, always to give a clear witness in our ministry to the exclusive outlook of true Christianity. We are to resist pressure from the world to compromise or be accepting of other religions. With our words and our actions, let us give decisive, unmistakable testimony that true Christianity is not just one religion among many, but that it is on a level all by itself, that it is, in fact, the only true religion. Can this religion, with such an exclusive stance, at the same time have a universal outlook? Of course. The universal character of true Christianity is evidenced with its confession that the baby lying in the manger, who was also very God, came for the entire human race. Christ lived a perfect life for all. He died for all. He paid for the sins of all people. He rose from the dead for all. He has acquired a saving righteousness for all people, which is received through faith. Further, Scripture says that God wants all to be saved. God commands that his gospel be proclaimed to all nations. In addition, God can bring anyone to faith. No one is too sinful, too much an unbeliever, too much an enemy of God, too much a follower of another religion to be beyond the omnipotence of God. We think of how God converted Saul, that rabid, monomaniacal persecutor of the church. In our text, Christ makes reference to the synagogue of Satan, those of that synagogue. These were Jews living in Philadelphia who, because they rejected Christ, were not true descendants of Abraham, according to God's reckoning. Yet the evangelism efforts of the Philadelphian church among these people, Christ promises, would be wonderfully successful. There would be many Jewish converts because of the power of Christ working through his word. The only way to carry on effective evangelism is by holding to the truth, as did the Philadelphian Christians. Our text renews in us the zeal to support and to be involved in the proclamation of God's word to the world. This includes believers being involved in the public forum, that is, in proper public settings, representing boldly the Christian viewpoint. As pastors, we will, on the one hand, not participate in ecumenical services. On the other hand, we will hold our own services and invite all to come and worship in our sanctuary. Also, as pastors, we will recognize that with regard to the proclamation of Scripture, there is some godly flexibility. There are different ways, approaches, and methods of getting out the word, especially as we encounter different cultures and different groups of people. We think of the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, "I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel." However, exercising godly flexibility for the sake of the gospel means that we will avoid that which denies or obscures the exclusive claims of the gospel. True Christianity is certainly exclusive, but also universal in its outlook. God grant that we may keep both aspects in mind and have both in proper perspective as we live and serve Him in today's world. In Jesus' name, amen.